So we're going to look at a sugya here on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, and this is a hemshech. It's a continuation of what we've been doing. The Mishnah tells us on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, "Vitola bechol davar sheyachola litlos." The Mishnah is going to go through an investigation of various possibilities in the case of a woman who saw kesem of tliya. In other words, to assume that the dam did not come migufa but came from somewhere else. And the examples that the Mishnah gives are the following. Shachta behema chaya v'of. So we're talking about shchita, where we know the dam is flying in the air. And therefore she can assume that instead of attributing the dam to guf, it came from the shchita.
She did the shchita.
Yeah, it seems like she did the shchita. Then we have the case of Nisaska Biksamim. So she had some contact with Ksamim. In other words, we're not sure that the kesem that she found was a Naki, was clean from the get-go. Maybe it was already had a stain on it even before she had any contact with it. And then it doesn't mean necessarily that she did the shechita, but even though she yoshva b'tzad ha'oskim b'ayim, even if she was in close proximity to those who were either oskim b'ksamim or all these other cases. Now we have the famous case of harga makoles. She killed some sort of a bug. Harei zutolaba. And on this last case of Makoles, we have the following question, which the Mishnah addresses. Ad kama tola, meaning, what's the size of this kesem that up until that size we can still attribute it to a Makoles? If it gets too large, then we have to assume it's dam migufa. Is Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos Omer, ad kigris shel pul, up until kigris. And Rashi says, "Avol tfei mihachi." If it's larger than that, eino dam makolas. It's not dam from this little bug. The bug doesn't have that much blood in it. Kol kach gadol. If she finds such a large stain of blood, it's not from there. And up till a kagris is mia, is bahachi mia talia. She should be tola. So again, at this point in Rav Chanina ben Antignos' presentation, it sounds like she's actually killing this bug, because it says harga makolas. Then the Gemara said, the Mishnah says, in the name of Rav Chanina ben Antignos, don't limit it to the case where she actually had contact with this bug and she killed the bug, and therefore the blood, you know, spread away. No, he says afal pi shelo harga. And the Rashi learns that the first part of the Mishnah, meaning the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, was of the opinion that you can only apply the din of Tliya to Makolas when she actually killed the Makolas, and Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos expanded it. And he says, Rashi says, Poligad Rabbanon, de Kaamri Harga in Lo Hargalo. The Chachamim limited to the case where she killed it. And Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos expands it even beyond this. Even if she might have had somewhere in her proximity a makoles, that's enough. The last part of the Mishnah we've already seen in the past, and that's the story about a woman who came in front of Rabbi Kiva, and she said that she saw kesem. Rabbi Kiva asked if she had a maka, and the whole business with the drasha of dam velo kesem. That part of the Mishnah we've already done. Let's fast forward to the Sugyas HaGemara. On the third line in the Gemara it says, Tan Rabbanan Avra Bishuk Shel Tabachim. Here's another case which the Raisa adds, where there was no enshechting in front of her, but there was a shuk of Tabachim. They were selling meat. And therefore there's a possibility that the dam came from there. The Gemara goes on and says, Harga in, lo harga lo, according to Tanakama, it's only because she killed the makoles, and that's why we can do tliya, but if not, if she didn't kill the makoles, there's no tliya. And the Gemara quotes a brisa, in which the Chachamim in this Braisa say that even in a case where she didn't kill a Makolas, nevertheless she could be told in a Makolas. And Rav Shimon Gamliel, on the other hand, like the Tanakhama now in Mishnah, limits it to a case where she killed a Makolas. On Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel turns to the Chachamim and he says the following. He says, L'dvarai ein keitz, u'l'divrei chaverai ein sof, ein sof. What does that mean? L'dvarai ein keitz, she'ein l'cha isha she'tahora l'baila. He says that there are going to be so many situations in which we're going to have to ask a woman to her husband. Why? She'ein l'cha kol mito mito she'ein ba kama tipe dam makoles. In other words, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, she didn't kill a makoles, and the mita is full of dam, these drops of stains of blood, because the makoles was so common back in the day. And therefore he says, ein keitz. Whereas the divrei chaverai ein sof, just the opposite. Ein lecha isha she'ena tahora labayla. Why? Because according to the Shita the Chachamim, which is the same Shita as the Shita of Chanina ben Antignos in our Mishnah, is Ein Lecha Kol Mito Mito She'ein Bo Kama Tipe Dam Makoles, and therefore is Ein Sof Lecha Dibre Chavera Ein Sof, because we can always be Metarha, because even though she didn't kill a Makoles, nevertheless we could be told in a Makoles. And at the end of this presentation, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, "Aval nirim divrei Rav Chanina ben Antignos midvarai." He says, "I agree to Rav Chanina ben Antignos," and that means that it's not true that we could always be matayr halabayla in every case of a dam b'mito and assume that it came from makolas. No, Rav Chanina ben Antignos put the reins on it, and he said that there's a limit. And what limit is it? Ad kama she'itola ad kigris shelpul. He says that it's up to, but not beyond, the size of a gris. So Rashi says, L'dvarai ein keitz, she'eni nosein shiur v'im harga afil kechardol t'mea. U'l'divrei chaverai ein sof, she'hem makilim yosem midai. In other words, the Chachamim have a double kula. She can be tola even if she saw afil kisela, she saw a very large stain, and even if she did not kill a makolas. So I would prefer the middle of the road shita, which is Rav Chanina ben Antignos. He's not going too extreme in this way or that way. He doesn't require that she kill a makolas, but it doesn't mean that the stain is so large that you can be matayer her and be told in a makolas, but rather, ad kigris, says Rashi, afil lo harga, but if it's yesem kigris, lo. Why? Because if it's yesem kigris, then it's highly unlikely that this dam came from makolas, which is a very small kind of bug. Vafilu harga, and the chumra of Rav Chanina ben Antignos that some of you could be told on and be matayr if it's only less than a kagris, that applies even in a case where a harga, because again the assumption is that a makolas is very small. Uledvarav yesh letami kagris viod, once it passes beyond kagris, uletayr pochos mi kagris. In any event, without going into all the details which we have here, and if we just want to write a summary or sort of formulate the bottom line, as I say, the law of Tliya has to have some sort of logic to it. It's not an automatic, you know, carte blanche, you know, whenever she, you know, she sees a kesem, we can be matayr. There are limitations. And one of the limitations that we see is, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, she has to have had some contact with the makolas. Even in the Mishnah says, you know, she went through a shuk shel tabachim, there was a shechita behema chayev yof, all these cases. And it's got to be less than a kagris viyot if we want to be told in a makolas. it seems that there are limitations, and there's got to be some sort of logical conviction in our path that it's reasonable to assume that the Dam may have come from wherever it may have come from. From this, from that, the different types of tliyos. So what's my point? Now getting to my point. Let's say I would come up with a situation in which tliya is impossible. It would seem, therefore, that the conclusion should be, in such a case, the kesem should be metameha.
Even if it's not a kris.
Oh, and there may be many nafkaminas. One nafkamina the rabbi mentions is, let's say, if it's pachos mikagris, but there's no makolas around. You know, the Gemara is talking about a particular milieu, a particular reality in which makolas was common. But bismanazel, let's say, if there's no makolas common, maybe we should be more machmerik some. Another issue that comes up is about the color of the kesem. For example, if the kesem is shachar, it's black, then the assumption is that it didn't come from somewhere else. What would be with regard to black? Or, for example, we have the case of ksamim on begadim tzivonim, you know, on colored garments. So generally speaking, you might say, well, if it's on colored garments, it's not really a kesem. But let's say I can look at the fibers and the different colors, and I can isolate one particular section of the beged that has, you know, one color on it. Am I going to look at the beged as a whole and say, well, it's not the dam migufa, it's not dam nida? Or am I going to say, let's look at that particular area where you found the kesem, and if that has one particular color and it's not a beged tzivoni on that part, then maybe we should be metamed. In a word, what I'm trying to drive at is, how do the poskim, having seen this sugya, deal with actual cases where tliya is far-fetched, to say the least? And again, I see here in this sugya that we're about to learn a wide, shall I say, discrepancy, if I can use that term, a distance between the sugya sagamara and the impression you get from the Talmud and the psak halacha lemaisa. And that's what I want to investigate with you. Because from the sugya itself, you get the impression that the Gemara is really analyzing ksamim as a very serious issue. And tliya is a very serious issue. We're not taking it lightly. You know, the Rabbanim were metamik ksamim, even if it's done without our gosha. And they really want to know, you know, that this dam is not migufa. If they're convinced that it's not migufa, then it's asur and it's tameh, even though she had no argosha. So we start the sugya of nida by saying, well, nida is only metameh when there's dam argosha. Then we go over to the sugya of ksamim, and we see that even Rabbi Akiva is molding ksamim, even Shmuel is molding ksamim, after all the drushes, and after all the prerequisites of bibsara, Achatargish Bibsara, nevertheless, the Rabbanu Mitame, even without Argosha. Kesem is without Argosha by definition. Oh, so the answer is, we'll be Mekil in Ksamim when it's feasible and reasonable to be Tola. And that's what the Sugya seems to be debating. You know, the details have to be ironed out, but the principle seems to be universally accepted. The underlying premise of this sugya is it reasonable to apply tliya, and in what scenarios and what situations is that reasonable? So the Mishnah opens up by saying, "V'tole b'chol davar sheyachola litlos." In other words, we're going to look for a possibility of tliya. We're going to actively seek and find tliya, but be honest about it. You know, at the end of the day, convince yourself that tliya is reasonable. But if it's not, then clearly the Rabbanan Asid Ksamim, and I'm not sure that this is going to follow through in the postgame, and I'm going to try to figure out why. Meaning, what I'm hinting at, or maybe even more than hinting, is that we're going to find some coolest in postgame that I'm very uncomfortable with. You know, meaning, I'm Torah Hiva Lil Ma'an Nitzok. I have to understand how the poskim could have, and when I'm talking about poskim, we're talking about some real big hitters here. For example, I've been mentioning over and over again Rav Yaakov Reicher, who's called the Torah's Hashlamin. I'm going to show you some coups there that are unbelievable, and they don't seem to reflect what we see here in this Gemara.
It seems that the question of Tliya seems to contradict Bidya Tzivoni as an example.
Correct. Begadim Tzivonim really defies logic here. Begadim Tzivonim really belongs to a different area of halacha, and that is Tuma V'Tara. Now, we did point out when we learned the beginning of Nida that Tuma V'Tara is very relevant to Nida as well, Nida L'Baila, as Isa V'Heter. For example, all the requirements of a Bedika in the case of a Nida, seem to emanate from or are rooted in Tuma V'Tara. If she was Osekas Petaros, then she has to make a Bedika, and they added the Migu, you know, once she's making a Bedika for Taros, she's making a Bedika for Nida as well. Even the first Mishnah in the Masechta, which talks about, me Pekida la Pekida, that we Matami ha Lumafreya, that itself is based on Taros and all the din of Truma. And yet, in the Mishnah, we apply this even to the case of Nida L'Baila. So there is a relationship between Tuma V'Tara and Nida L'Baila, and that's something that we want to investigate today, because that may hold the key here to unlock this mystery about all the coolest that we'll find in Ksamim that, at least in our frame of reference in a contemporary society, don't seem to be, you know, to reflect what we see here in the Gemara. You know, the Gemara is going through a painful investigation. What was she was osik for this, she was osik for that, she went through here, she went through there, up to a gris, after that it's not reasonable to assume it's a makol. You know, all these different Gemaras that we see here, almost every line in this sugya is reflective of the fact that we have to have some sort of reasonable conviction that at least there's a possibility that Dam didn't come migufa, but rather came from somewhere else.
But isn't the tendency towards kula because the whole din of kesem is a very tough thing. If you hold that argosha is
the prerequisite, correct?
And then to come up and say we don't need argosha because
right.
Maybe she didn't know she had argosha because she was making a bedika at that time. But you know that first of all, it's not only number one, there's no argosha. Number two, To be told that on that moment in time when she was doing the bedika is another far-fetched thing. So they feel the obligation.
But again, Alan, keep in mind that we've discussed, and we need a chazara, and I'm not saying no, but this was a major point that we made, that what the Rabbana was saying is that let's suspend the requirement of argosha, that the dam is matami even without argosha. In fact, you might remember that we had the sheet of the binyan of the Chochmas Adam, the Binas Adam, to the effect that if she finds a kesem that's a mashahu, it's even less than a kagris, it's what we call ketipas dam kechardol, she might be tmea, even though there's no argosha. Because, again, you remember the Binas Adam, it was an hour's discussion, which I'm not prepared to go over right now, but we should. Namely, that once the Rabbana created this tomb of Ksamim and they alleviated the requirement of Argosha, then it has the same status as Dam Bar Gosha. Once it has the status of Dam Bar Gosha.
Well, that's what they were worried about, that it took on a life of its own.
So once it took on a life of its own, unless you can convince me of a serious tliya that this is not Dam Bigufa, then the Bina Sodom is going to assume she's Tmeya even with the Tipas Dam Kechardo. So why a Tipas Dam Kechardo? Because that's the Doraisa Aloch of Anida.
Right.
So I'm just pointing out here that this is not a Hefkervelt. We're not just saying that because there's no Argosha and the whole kit and caboodle is the Rabbanon, therefore the floodgates are open and we're gonna just assume she's not having Dam Migufa. It's not so. At least when I read the Gemara, I don't get that impression at all.
Yeah, so that's the flavor.
So that's what I want to see if we can, you know, wrap our brains around this issue of so many scenarios, which I want to go through now, in which Tliya is impossible, and is there still room to be Mekil in the post? That's what I want to study with you. So I have with me the Sidrei Tara, Okay, as I mentioned many times, Sidrei Torah is a major, major source for both an understanding. He was a big lamdan of Hilchos Nida, and for halacha lemaisa for psak as well. So the Sidrei Torah, and again, spread around throughout Siman Kuf Tzadi. Our Siman is Kuf Tzadi. He has about 100 pages on Siman Kuf Tzadi. So I didn't photocopy all of them for you. Okay. So in Siman Kuf Tzadi, he has a discussion here in the name of the Me'il Tzedakah. So if John was here today, he's not here today, I would ask him to research me who the Me'il Tzedakah was. But he's an early posek, I think from centuries ago. I mean, the Sidrei Torah himself is 150 years ago, but he's quoting an earlier tshuva. So he writes the following. He says that pshitale, there's no question that a kesem would only be tamei if it was kigris v'od. That's the first premise. And he says the following. He says, Shitale Bazashir, the Tsarch al Kolponim, al Kolponim means in every event, without, in any scenario, without exception, it's an absolute rule. It's not, Ksamim are not going to be Tome unless it's Kigrisvio. Mishum, and this is the line that I want to investigate today, the Cholshu Bepachos Mikigris, Vadai Lo Gazru Rabban. It's interesting language. You know, I would have said, if I were writing the text, but I'm not the Me'il Tzedakah, that kol shu pachos mikigris tailinon. We assume it came from makolas. He's saying something totally different. He's saying that if it's pachos mikigris, then lo gazru be rabbanon. You may remember the discussion that we had last week in the, what was it, the Chemdes Daniel, you know, on the Rush. And there he spoke about some text that he had, was the Chidushei Arami, I don't know who it is, he doesn't spell it out, and he came to the conclusion that maybe we could say under certain situations, she's a ketana, she's a little bit young, she doesn't have simonim yet, or she doesn't have shonim, the whole discussion that we had last gzera. Week, and therefore there was no gzera. So we're seeing now another example, we're having another, in a sense, encounter with this kind of svara, that when the Rabbanon instituted this new tumah, which is called ksamim, they did so with from the get-go. You know, I gave you the vision of standing up, you know, when they stood up in Sanhedrin and they took the vote, with certain provisos and certain limitations. So according to the Me'il Tzedakah, one of the limitations that was built in to this gzera from the get-go was it's got to be pachos mikigris. I mean, that it's got to be kigris viod, and if it's not kigris viod, then it's not tom. The alkayotze bazu, if it's different than that, meaning if it's less than a kigris viod, lo hoisa gzeirosa. Now here's the punchline: the afal gav devadai migufa asya. That's antithetical to what concept, Rabbi Osai, when you say Vare Migufa Asya?
Tliya.
It's the exact opposite of Tliya. Here we've been sweating it out, going through this whole Sugya Dafnun Chesem and Beis, Mishnah line by line, Gemara Sugya line by line. We came to the conclusion from every single word in the Sugya that yells out and screams out, is it reasonable to be Tola? And this Me'il Tzedakah, with one flick of the wrist, you know, he throws it all out. He says, Vare mi gufa ka'asya. And yet, we're still governed by the laws of Ksamim, and therefore if it's less than a kagris v'od, we're going to be mitired. We know it came mi gufa. What happened to tipas dam kechardol? He says, kimo, now he's talking to our sachnuts, kimo shalo gazru al ksamim, de deget savua v'chayotze bazim. Now, come on, give it a break. You're telling me that because the beged is tzavua, therefore the dam didn't come migufa?
He didn't say it didn't come from the Jewish mind. He said
but even if it did.
But, yeah, well,
so that's what I'm saying. I was being cynical about it. I'm asking facetiously. Are you going to stand here in front of this classroom and say, that because she saw the dam on a beged tzavua, ain't no dam migufa? Now again, Rabbos, if the dam came migufa, what difference does it make whether it's on a beged tzavua or not? It's totally irrelevant. The dam is dam mido, it came migufa. Had she had argosha, she'd be tmei doraisa with a chiv karetz. Hell, what? Okay, so she didn't have argosha. But what about the tumah derabanan k'samim? Oh, you want to say tliya? Fine. Give me a tliya in a case where she saw a small amount of dam on the stain, and maybe it came from here, there, and elsewhere. But how can you talk about tliya because it's a beged tzavua? Is lahachi, and therefore, based on this presentation, this is the final conclusion of the me'il tztok, a pshitale de be'inon kigris viot. That there was never a doubt that in order to be metame yekesem, it's got to be kigris viot ad kan lashon. On this me'il tztaka, which I know only from the Sidrei Tara, he writes v'lo yadati mai ka'amar. I have no clue what the man is talking about. Now, I don't know if you hear, you know, the drama. There's a little drama here. You know, if I was teaching children, I would organize a play and they would see who the Me'il Tztaka is. I mean, the Me'il Tztaka is a basic poser. And for the Sidrei Tara to go ahead and quote him verbatim is only a further indication of who he was. This is not some sort of, you know, if I would write a tshuva, you know, write a tshuva, the Sidrei Tara would not quote Berzon's tshuva. And then on this, for the Sidrei Tara to write, V'lo yadati maika omar. And he goes on to talk to us about all sorts of scenarios in which we know that the dam is coming machmas gufa. And therefore he says that how could you tell me the lo gazru afilu im vadai mi gufa if it's pachos mi kegris? He says, l'daito, if you go like the Me'il Tztaka, Tzarech Lomar, Hadisa B'Gemara, the time of the Be'inon, Kigris Viotis, Mishum de Talinon, B'Makoles. And here we're talking about Dam that's Vade Migufa. Again, that's explicit in the Me'il Tztaka. Again, for myself, if you don't mind, Rabbi, I'm gonna read this again. He says, Ela Vadai Pshitoli, Dashir Hazen Nemar Al Kol Panim. It's got to be Kigris Viot. And then he writes, well, let me just get the word. Sorry. Afogav divade migufa ka'asya. And I just wanted to underline these words because I shouldn't have to look for them every single moment.
The only question you get asked is, where does he get that time? Where is his source from?
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but
by definition.
So what do you do with the Gemara, though? I mean, he's going to give it teretz, but I'm saying before, maybe you could be mechavid to his teretz, if you're interested. But again, let's just hear the kasha. He says,
what do you do with all the taliyah?
Yeah, no, he says, the Gemara itself, where did it come up with this idea of kigris? It wasn't just like the Rabbanan invented a shir, but he says the following. He says mishum devepachos mikagris taima. The reason the Gemara gives is she's tahora mishum de talina b'makoles. He's talking about again. Now I don't have to look for it because I underlined it. Afal gav devada migufa asya, which means you can't talk to me about a makoles. He says hachi perusha. Now he's gonna try to defend the Me'il Tztaka, even though he says lo yadana mai ka'amar. He says came on the kolas dinim maleim dam makoles. He says, since again, I want you to keep in mind our contemporary situation, but he says, since all our sedinim are maleim dam makoles, is lo timta bas li Avram avinu shetehe yosheves tachas baila. We're in an impossible scenario. Right, you remember that we spoke about Ein L'Dover Kates. Every single woman is going to be Asura L'Baila because the Ksavim are all over the place. The Sedinim are Meluchlochim V'Dam. is Mishum Hachi, therefore, what's the Pshat? Lo Gazru Klal Al Pachas Mikagris V'od, because in a Pachas Mikagris V'od, it's more logical and reasonable to assume and to attribute the Dam to a Makoles, and therefore, Lo Gazru B'Pachas Mikagris V'od, Afilu I Vade Migufa Asya. So in other words, you follow the mechanics here. The Rabbanu were facing a very difficult problem. If we define Ksamim the way we thought, based on our simple, superficial reading of the Gemara, again, I'm not blaming you, I'm blaming me. Just using the royal we because I'm trying to cover up. But the way we interpreted the Gemara was that Ksamim was an absolute Gzeret Rabbanon, except for Pachos Mikagris. And why except for Pachos Mikagris? Because there's a very good chance that in Pachos Mikagris it came from Makol. So that's why I understood it. Lu Yitzur, I know it came in Gufa. There's nothing to talk about. It could be a Tipas Dam Kechad, let me enough. That's the way I walked away from the Gemara. Says the Sidrei Tavi, the Mil Tzedakah walked away from this Gemara with a different impression whatsoever. And that was that the Rabbanon were involved in a, I call it an antinomy, meaning it's a dialectic. You cannot possibly maintain or institute a Xeras Ksamim and at the same time expect women to have relationship with their husbands. You've just completely undermined marriage. The whole institution of marriage is down the tubes, and with it goes procreation. Why? Because Eilacha Mito She'ena Meluchleches Bedam. So all this dam on the mita is all a kesem, and on a regular basis, ongoing basis, we have ksamim. So we have to solve that problem.
How do you jump from there to migufa?
Well, so how do we jump? So we have to the chachom have to face this shnei suma machishes. They're in a bind. They want to institute ksamim because you know what? Maybe it did come migufa, which means it's real nida doraisa minus hargo. Right. On the other hand, they want to be matir, a woman labaila. So what they have to do is, they have to come up with a modus vivendi, you know, some sort of working mechanism which would allow that if there's a real serious indication that this dam came migufa, then we have to aser it. But if there's a reasonable doubt, we don't have to aser it. So what did they work out? How did they institute this? In such a way that on the one hand, you know, if there's indication that it's a kesa migufa, da migufa, she should be tmeya. And on the other hand, still allow women to resume their relations with their husband. So what they did was, they formulated it in such a way that on the one hand, it would embrace cases where there's a very serious chance that it came migufa. On the other hand, in those cases where there's a good chance that it came min hamakolas, they would leave that out. And once they leave it out, what they're going to do is, based on this consideration, whether or not this tliya, namely makolas, is reasonable or is not reasonable, they're going to institute that as a definition of ksam. So we're going to say the following. It's like a two-stage process, but it's really one stage. I mean, in reality, it's one stage. The first stage is going to be, when is it reasonable to say it came from Makolas? When is it reasonable to assume it did not come from Makolas? And that's where we're going to come up with this distinction between Pachos Mikagris and Yosef Mikagris. Once we do that, now we're going to go one step further. And we're going to say that this whole institution of Ksamim is going to completely undermine the whole marriage relationship. So what we're going to say is that we're going to institute Ksamim, but only when it's Yosef Mikagris. And that's the original Gzeira. This is the way the Sidrei Tara presents the sheet of the Mil Tzedakah. Again, he doesn't accept the Mil Tzedakah, but that's the way he defends it. So again, there has to be some limitation in the Gzeira of Ksavim, otherwise Ein L'Davar Keitz, we're over the top, no way that we can maintain marriage. On the other hand, we want to institute Gzeira of Ksavim to at least address this question of a woman who might be seeing Dam Migufa. Now, how do we reconcile that? The Metzias seems to slap us in the face because the beds, the sheets are full of Dam. So the very moment you take your first step forward and you say, well, there's going to be a Xeris Ksamim, that's it. You don't undermine the entire institution of marriage. So we must find that limitation rule. So how are we going to go about doing that? We're going to have to set up a shear. And less than that shear is not a kesem. And therefore the gzeira doesn't apply. How do we come to that shear? How we arrive? We arrive at it through the mechanism of tliya. But again, keep in mind that according to Bill Tzedaka, tliya is just a method by which we arrive at a conclusion of how to reconcile gzeiras ksamim with davar shein lo ketz. And the answer is we must put in a limitation clause into ksamim. That's upgrade. That's beyond question. Now we need a method. How do we do it? So we're going to create a shear. Less than that, it's not a kesem. What shear are you going to come up with? Well, let's look at the classical tliya of makolos. And that's what we come with.
So the end result is, according to this, that even if it's a migufa and it's less than the gris, it's not a kesem. It's nothing.
Great.
It's nothing.
Unbelievable. Because again, once you're in the absence of hagosha, it becomes a kesem. Once it becomes a kesem, you have to decide what shear do you have to make it into a kesem and to validate its status as a kesem. And when is it less than a shear and it's not a kesem? When we go through that two-stage process, we come to the conclusion that even if we know the dam came migufa, it can only be tamei b'taras tumah the rabbanan called kesem, and it's not a kesem because it's pachas mikigris, and the rabbanan required a minimum shear of kigris.
So why did they bother with the makolos to begin with?
Well, again, there's got to be some logic to what that shear is.
But you just undermine the logic by saying every node comes migufa. You undermine the logic. So what need the logic?
No,
you don't need tliya anymore.
We don't need tliya. Once you say I know about the here for the goof and it's less than the gris, and it's just still tahar, then you've undermined the whole concept of tliya. So get rid of it. What are you here for? It's just a game.
In practical, I love it. You don't need tliya.
You know, and that's why it was.
Okay, we'll get. That's what I want to get to. I have to move at a certain pace. I hear all your objections, and we're gonna see inside. Okay, let's bear with me if you can. He says, okay,
the shear. And once you have a shear, you don't need to be
historical.
It's like it's process. Yeah.
He says, "Al pizeh hayenichali mashikosva poskim the kesem pachos mikagris tahora." Bein bekesem shachar, bein bekesem adom. Da'ba makoles less long limitli eladafka bekesem adom. Okay, this is based on the Baliyat Nefesh. I didn't research that, but in any event, the premise here is that only in a case of kesem adom is there a possibility to assume that it came from makoles to be told in makoles.
So. Because of oxidation, it changes color.
I don't know. Rabbi, I'm just, don't... Have Rachmanis on me. Have Rachmanis on me. Again, I'm just reading... But just, again, what I'm focused on is the concept for the time being. So what's the concept here? That's what's critical to me. He's trying to justify, even though, again, as I said before, the bottom line, he's going to disagree with the meal tzedak. He's trying to justify the meal tzedak. You can't just say the meal tzedak avek, throw it out. So he's trying to figure. So he says that how is it that the poskim make the following two premises, one of which Rabbi Sachnowitz rejects completely, but let's accept it just conceptually. Premise number one is that you cannot be toleb of makolos on a kesem shachar, only on a kesem adom. Oh. Premise number two is that even if she finds a kesem shachar, nevertheless, if it's pachos mipagris, she's tahora. How do you reconcile those two? It's a stirim in eube. Again, conceptually, you're talking to me about the metzius, oxidation. It's all very important, but not at this stage, because otherwise Berzon has no shear for today. That's also important. They once asked the Evan Ozel, what was his name?
Mrs. Zalman,
they say after the shear, he gave brilliant shear, everyone's supposed to. So some time we came over to him and said to him, but what's a hechrich? What forces you to say it? He says, the shear is a hechrich. This is a true story. So I'm just saying, again, I don't know about oxidation, but he's quoting Rishonim here, who say that a makolos is only possible if she finds Adon. Okay, so we have to fight that out. That's a battle. Then he goes ahead and he says, if there's no possibility of tliya, then when she finds a kesem shachar, she should be tmeya, even if it's pachas mikagris. What difference does it make? There's no possibility of what? Of tliya. He says, when we call makom, sasmu aposkim, that this requirement of kagris, we'll see it in the Shulchan Aruch himself, the minimal requirement of kagris for tuma applies whether or not it's shachar or adam. Elevadai the sfirle lahani poskim the chevon zechachomim lo gozer al kesem bepochos mi kagris viod afilu hecha doleka lemitli b'makoles viafilu ivadai mi gufa asya shuv ein lechalik ben kesem lekesem el kol maros aksomim in whatever color they are, black, red, or blue. All right, white and blue this time of the year. Lo gozru achiyeh boshir azoy shtei. Then he says, "Ube'emes kasav kena minchas Yaakov." Again, as I told you, Rabbi Yaakov Reicher in the later tkufa for the last three centuries is like holy of holies. Svirle kamosha kasav amachaber hanal, hanal meaning the meil tztaka. Dlo gozer al kesem bepochus mikagris viod afilu I vaday migufa asya. V'chein kasa bereish simon kuf pei gimel b'toras hashlomim. That's his other the name of his other book. Amash kasa mechaber shulchan aruch isha sheyotza dam mimekora bein beonis bein beratzon tmeya v'husha targish biyitzi asa. Right, that's the beginning of Hilchas Nida. You need argosha. On that he writes elishon v'yafagav demistaber lekamon simon kuf tzadi v'yafagav dlor gisha. Rak bekesem the alma al gufa o al chaluka tmeya v'hainu kishir gadol kigris viot. This is amazing, Rabbi Osai. Listen to this. The whole deal of tli of makolas is only when she finds dam on the sheets, on her clothes, garments, blah blah blah. Even we'll have a case of an aid bedika, but she didn't check the aid before. Here's a case where she finds the dam al gufa. The Sugya Sagamara assumes that if the dam came al gufa, then for sure it's coming. If she finds the dam al bsara, then for sure it came mi gufa. Umi kol makom, he's still saying this Torah Sashlomim of Rabbi Yaakov Reicher, that she's only tmeya if it's kishir kigris viod. What's going on over here? You have now a case of tipas dam kechato on our basar, which we know came in gufa. Again, we have to iron out all the premises here, but just hear the premise that he's operating with, the mincha, the Torah Sashlomim, is that yes, if the dam was found on her basar, it came in gufa. And yet, it's only tmeya if it's kigris v'ot. Says the Sidrei Tara, from these words of the Torah Sashlomim, you see that he agreed with the other Machaber. He didn't even want to give him the courtesy of mentioning his name again, the Meil Tztaka, that they hold that this is the Gzeres Ksomim. And even there's no possibility of Tliya because there's no suffix and it definitely came in Gufa, nevertheless, if it's not Kigris Viot, it's not a Kesem and she's Tahora. And therefore, that's according to the Torah Sashlom, that justifies why the Mechaber added Vahusha Targish. Why did the Mechaber open up Hilchas Nida and say Vahusha Targish? That's not really true. That's misleading us, because she's Tmeya even without Argosha, because Midrabanan she's Tmeya. But the answer is that what the Mechaber means is that Vahusha Targish, because if there was no Argosha, then even in a case of Dam Migufa, we're going to be Matayr Ha, if it was Pachos Mikigris. Ulech Ora, Ein, Adkan L'Shom. Ulech Ora, now the Sidrei Tara is talking, Ein L'Dvarav Shachar. Again, very harsh language over here. Deha, B'Pachos Mikigris V'Od, Tahora, Hainu Mishum, Delo Yad'inan, Inofik Migufa, Ilonafik Migufa, Mishum Hachi, Talinan, Bimakolas. Aval Ilu Yad'inan de Migufa Asya, is Afilu Kechardol Tmeya. Afagav Delo Yagisha, Tmeya, Himidrabbanan. So Sidrei Tara takes the what I call the old conservative approach, which was our impression when we read the Gemara, that this whole business about kigris or not kigris is conditional on the fact that you don't know if it came begufa. You don't know if it came begufa. You want to institute a tliya. Okay, if it's less than a kigris, I can say amen to a tliya. But Ribbono Shel Olam, if it came begufa, like the case of Bibsaro, we have the case of Kedam Shochar according to the original premise, or we spoke about the case what was the other case? Anyway, but anyway, Vaday Migufa Kasi, then for sure it wouldn't make a bit of a difference whether it's Ketipas Dam Kechadol or Kegris. So where's his language again? I lost it for a second. He says, "I will be elu sheyadin to migufa asya is afilu kechardol tmea afilu b'lar gosha mirabonon." Okay, that we saw. And he writes, "Vamachaber." What about Rav Yosef Karo, who writes, "Isha sheyotze damim kora bein bionis bein rotze tmea mishum diadinon vaday." And then he writes the machaber that's dafka behar gosha. So again, there seems to be support from the lashon of the machaber himself at the beginning of Hilchos Nida for the approach of this school of thought. Because on the case of dam that came mi gufa, the machaber says only if she's only tmea if she had har gosha. So they understood that means that if it was pachas mikagris, even if it would be dam ibsara, it wouldn't make one bit of a difference. She'd be tahora. In Kain kasha, now that he's rejected, the Sidri Taurus rejected the Taurus Hashlam. So what do we do with the language of the Mechabaloma hisna dafka shetargish? Even without our gosh, she'd be tmeya. In a case where we know it came migufa. Elvari tzorch loma kvosh yikosav ashachba zeh da mechabim midaraisa ka'omar. And the Mechaber didn't mean to paskin halacha. Again, it's a little bit shaky here. This is the opening, this is the introduction of the Mechaber to Hilchos Nida, Kupay Gimel, and he says it's only if she had argosha. He doesn't mean halacha lemais. No, says the Sidri Taurus. He's talking about the conceptual structure of Hilchos Nida, and if the Torah prohibited Nida, it's got to be bargosha. It's got to be bargosha. So even though you know it can't be gufa, there's no argosha, she's not tmeya neither. What does it mean she's not tmeya neither? Of course she's tmeya neither. But that's only the Rabbanan. He was talking to Machaber about the Doraisa. That's the Shach. Says the Sidri Taurus, the Shach is on my side. I'm not sure the Machaber was on his side. But anyway, this, if you accept the, how should I say, the limitation of the, you know, the Shach's limitation of the Machaber. When you read the Machaber according to the Shach, you have to add up Amedvar Mamurim. I'm only talking about in a theoretical sense, because you know I'm speaking to a bunch of Lamdonim and they have to know the difference between neither Doraisa and neither Rabbanan. So I'm telling you, it's got to be Dam Bahar Gosh. So that even though you know the Dam can't be Gufa, it's got to have Ar Gosh. Why? Because on a Doraisa level, you have to have Ar Gosh. Halacha l'maisa, chas v'sholom, if you draw conclusions, practical conclusions from what I said, because practically we have to get up to, you know, a later siman kuf tzadi, which is seven simanim later, and then I'll tell you the truth that halacha l'maisa midrabbanan she's tmeya if it came migufa, and I don't care whether it's pachas because Yosef, it doesn't make a difference if it came migufa. We know it came migufa. She's tmeya midrabbanan. That's the way the Sidri Taurus is learning the machal. And I'll read to you his language. He writes, "The dafka hecha de ikal and mitli b'makoles who de tahora." When did the Rabbanan say she's tahora in a case of kesem? Because there's a logical possibility of being tolev b'makoles. Afal im vaday migufa nafik afal gav shelo hergisha tmeya. Even if she had no argosha, mid Rabbanan she's tmeya. Why? Because it vaday came migufa. Vehu vechenu beloshen abraisa shemimena makar din zeh. He says now we can read the braisa, which is the source for this din. What does the braisa say? It says akama hi tola. To what extent can she operate with tliya? Ad kegrish shel pul. And listen to his dir. He says according to the Torah Sashlovim and the Me'il Tzedakah before him, the language is not meticulous. It's not on, you know, on the ball. It shouldn't have been ad kama he tola. It should have said ad kama he tahora. It has nothing to do with tliya. When is she tahora? When is she tmeya? If it's pachas mikagris, she's tahora. And if it's yelsa mikagris, you know, tliya hin, tliya her, it makes no difference. It's muchach the dafka hecha to safek im yotza migufa o lo yotza migufa de hahu de tola aval hecha de vade nafik migufa tmeya vechein kasa v'sefer crazy uplesi. You see, it's really interesting. The Sidrei Torah is totally convinced from the Sugyas HaShas and the Lashon HaBrayis especially that he's correct. But nevertheless, he's fighting against the Me'il Tzedaka and the Torah Sashlom. So he feels a little bit nervous in that. That's what I sense. So he quotes the crazy place, Rabbi Yonasan Ivishitz, because again, Rabbi Yonasan Ivishitz goes back to that generation of the Torah Sashlomim, and he now found the way of being Toila, Be'ilon God. So again, if it's Vadai Migufa, if it's Vadai Migufa, she's Tmeya, even if she sees Kikardol, and the Tliya of the Makoles, that's where there's a reasonable possibility of Tliya of Makoles, that's when we differentiate between Pachos Mikagris and Yosem Mikagris. So if there's a possibility of Tliya and she sees a Kesem Pachos Mikagris, then she's Tahor. So all this appears at the end of this 100 pages I told you, the Sidrei Torah and Simon Kuf Tzadi. Now I want to turn backwards for a second to an earlier paragraph here. And in the Friedman edition, this is on page Tov Lamed Ches.
What Simon is
also on Kuf Tzadi. Kuf Tzadi.
But do you have an Os
there? I don't know. Let's see. The Os are a little bit confusing. Os Yud. But again, it all depends on which printing you have, because the Sidrei Torah went through different madurot. He says, "U b'shut mi'il tzedaka." Now, the shut mi'il tzedaka that he quoted earlier, which was really later, but I called it earlier, that was Simon Nun Tes. Now he's quoting Simon Chaf from the same sefer. And he writes Zelish on it. Chen shamati min hachaverim. I don't know what he means by that. From his colleagues, I guess. Hayaroi letame kesem shachar. Okay, this comes back to your oxidation issue. Mitam ze di efshar litlos viafilu lupachos mikagris. Right, but pachas mikagris in an adam situation would be what? Would be mutter, but in the same exact case of pachas mikagris, if it's shachar, it should be tamei. Okay, he's going to reject these chaverim, but this is what he heard from his chaverim. Ratzalomer, he says she efshal litlos makolas shu adam kimavuar beperek kolayad daf yud tesamidei. So your issue is addressed by the sugya. I didn't get a chance to look at Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. If somebody can make a mental note of it, and at some point we'll open up the sugya b'li ned. He says the following: B'tema gedola. Now let me just backtrack for a second. These chaverim quoted by the Me'il Tzedaka, they were pushing that agenda because the poskim should have pointed out that even in a case of Adam Shachar, Pachas Mikagris is Tahora. Because since the Gemara itself, the Talmud, it concludes or establishes that in Adam, in a Kesem Shachar, she cannot be Tola B'makoles, then the poskim should have somewhere mentioned. And even before the posting, and getting back to the Rishon, they should have mentioned this prat, which is a revolutionary chiddush, that even in Adam Shachar, it's mutter, if it's Pachas Mikagris. Tema Gedol, after quoting these chaverim, he says, Tema Gedol, Eich nela mihem divrei harayvid b'sefer balei ha-nefesh b'shar ha-ksom. V'zeh l'shon odina ha-mishi. Afalpi she'ein lo ba'me litlos Tola b'kigris, kigris meaning if it's kigris but not more than a kigris, b'makoles. V'eino tola bo elekesem adom. Ad kan l'shono. I'm sorry. I made a mistake here. There's so many ad kan l'shonos that I got a little bit confused. Sorry. The first ad kan l'shono was ad kan l'shon hamil stok. Correct? I'm hoping I'm going to get this right this time. Meaning that the Mi'il Tztaka was telling us that what? That, yeah, that if you're telling me, which the Chaverim were pushing for, that if there's no possibility of Tliya, i.e. in the case of Kesem Shachar, she's Tmeya, says the Mi'il Tztaka, how could that be? That should have appeared in the poskim. In the poskim, all we see is kesem pachsbi kigris tar. It doesn't say because it's kesem adam and not kesem shoch. Ad kan l'shon. Now comes the sidrei tar. And without even reading the next line in the sidrei tar, we know, we can anticipate what he's going to say. That if a kesem shochar blocks the possibility of tliya b'makoles, then it's got to be tamei even b'pachas mikigris. Again, because the shita of the sidrei tara is that tliya yes, but no tliya no. It's a no go. It's she's tmeya. V'tema gdol. Once again, he's arguing. But here, he doesn't use that language of v'lo'amar klum. You know, he says tema gdola. How could the meal of tztok have said such a thing? Eich nela mimenu divrei arayvin v'bali nefesh b'sharek somu. V'zelishono afal pi she'ein lo bamel litlos tole b'kigris makoles, but v'eina tole bo elakesem adom. So the Bali Nefesh himself limits tliya to a kesem adom. Obviously lafuke a kesem shachar hari lahedja mevuar di eina tole kesem shachar b'makoles. I have to admit that it's very odd that this chumra lahavdil bein adam leshachar doesn't appear in the poskim. You know, the sidrei tar is honest; he's intellectually honest about that. Hishmitu din zeh v'lo biro behedja. He says miu b'mekomos shemetzuyin parushim shel lichluch shelahem hu shachar. Now I'm not sure if he's using oxidation, but I think he's saying something very similar. And he's saying that the parushim, these kinds of bed bugs, leave lichluch. I suspect it means some sort of an extra of a discharge. I don't know, you know, feces or something, but whatever it is, it's black. And since these were so common, that's why the poskim didn't want to make this distinction, because they were afraid that, not afraid actually, this is a kula, they wanted to be makil that even though what she found was black, maybe it came from the lichluch of the parushim. That's why they were makil. Okay. Now, what I wanted to do at this point was to read to you the Rambam. So I'm going to excuse myself to bring the Rambam. I forgot to bring it in. And what I want to do is, honest to goodness, see if we can come to some conclusion. Where did the Rambam hold on this issue? Okay. But the wrong guy, I'm sorry.
Nobody's concerned that the Torah says Daniel Lettuce is gone. Right. And nobody's concerned that after you let us, after she carries his Torah, even if it's not evident that
they were one next to the other, and
sure. Well, that's a delusion. So they make it a rule.
Okay.
Let's
see if we can read the Rambam. I just want to make sure I have the right Maromokum here. The Rambam is should be Perek Tes Halacha Aleph. I just want to make sure I got the right one. Oh, okay. So the Rambam here is in Hilchos Machol, Hilchos Yisurei Bia, and he says the following.
Tes Aleph?
Well, Tes Aleph we did already, and that's where the Rambam establishes that Hargosha is a prerequisite for Tuma Doraisa, and then Halacha Beis, which we saw also last week, Nidirei Sof from Kol Roa Kesem Dam, is Afal Pishlor Gisha, etc., etc., Harezu Tmeir. And that was the famous Kesem Mishnah that we dealt with about Sveksveka, if you happen to recall that. Okay. Now the Rambam says the following. Halacha Vav. At this point, the Rambam wants to differentiate between a kesem that she finds on a beged and a stain that she finds on her body. And he writes the following. Uma ben kesem animsa al besora le kesem animsa al bgadeha. He says, she kesem she nimsa al besora ain lo shiur. But Vanimsa la beged, eno tmeo, eno metame, ad shiye kigris. And then he tells you exactly, with a long discussion here, what is a kigris. Now, Rabosai, I don't get it. Oh, okay, no, I'm sorry, I don't want to feed you. But what would you say over here if you had this Rambam in front of you? Where does the Rambam belong? To which school of thought? We'll call it the Mi'il Tztaka school of thought, which is also Tor Shlomim, or to the Sidrei Tara school of thought? Really? And I came to the opposite conclusion. Oh, yeah, just 1 second. Yeah, to the Sidrei Tara. Correct. Sorry. Yeah. Why?
Because if it comes on Psara,
it doesn't matter.
Correct, because since it's on Psara, we know it came in Gufa. Says the Rambam, we're going to drop the requirement of Kigris. And therefore, says the Rambam, ain lo shiur. I don't know why the Sidrei Tara didn't quote this. This would seem to be an open and shut case. I'm going to take a stab at it. And I'm going to suggest that what the Rambam is saying is that there are two categories of ksamim. And you'll tell me if you think this is a push. There's one called Kesem al Bigda, and there we raise the question, did it come migufa or did it not come migufa? And it could very well be that even if the Kesem al Bigda came migufa, there's no makolos to be found, or it's Dam Shachar. Nevertheless, the Rambam would be Matayer. What the Rambam means by al Psara is that's a whole new category of Kesem. And it's governed by its own rules. And that is that it's Vade Kemi Besara. So in other words, what I'm suggesting is that I wouldn't necessarily, from the Rambam's perspective, and trying to understand the Shita, throw out the Mi'il Tztaka. It could be that the Rambam is midway between the Mi'il Tztaka and the Sidrei Tara. He's Stodim Lakan and Stodim Lakan. In other words, he's willing to accept, in the case of Ksamim, and now we have to define Ksamim, I'm going to add Al-Bgadim, but that the Mi'il Tztaka is correct. Namely, in Hilchas Ksamim, the Rambam is not going to make a distinction between, well, did it come Migufa, did it not come Migufa, do we have a real, reasonable possibility of Tliya, do we not? All that is out. The Halacha is, the Rabbanan instituted Ksamim, and the shear has to be kigris v'ob. If it's less than that, it's...
What but I want big though.
Oh, but if it's a kesem al besara, here the Rambam is in the camp of the Sidrei Tara. What do I mean? That here it's such a vada migufa, it's like a super vada migufa, it's mamish migufa. We're almost watching the dam come down onto our legs, you know, onto our thighs, so to speak. In such a case, the Rambam says, the Rabbanan simply bracketed the requirement of Hargosha, instituted a Tumah. It's Dam HaTmeya B'Taras Vadai Mid Rabbanan without Hargosha. And therefore, the halachas of Tliya are not going to help me anymore, because or the distinction I should say between Kegris or not Kegris is not relevant here. Why is it not relevant? Because this Rabbanon is fundamentally different from that Rabbanon. There are two Rabbanons here. Two, I don't mean a trade Rabbanon. What I mean to say is two different Rabbanons. On the one hand, the Rabbanon said, we're going to bracket the requirement of our gosh. On the other hand, the Rabbanon was saying that we're going to be metamic sub. In the first case, the difference between Kegris and Shelo Kegris is totally irrelevant. Why? Because Rabbanon simply ignore the requirement of Hagasha. Once they ignore the requirement of Hagasha, then basically Ketipa Stam Kechardal. It's Mamish Nida. Norvas, it's only the Rabbanon, but it's not the Oraisa. That's called Hilchas Vadai Tuma the Rabbanon. Now there's another halach of Tuma the Rabbanon, and that's Tuma Safek. Within the context of Tuma Safek, which is Dam Al Bigda, Al Kesem, not Al Psar, there the Rabbanon are trying to figure out, well, should we institute a Tuma, a new Tuma? And the answer is no. Here we're not going to institute a new Tuma. What we're going to try to figure out is, did the Dam come from here? Did it come from there? And since we don't know, we're going to create regulations that govern that. And we're going to say the following, that if the Kesem is less than a Kegris, we assume, we're allowed to assume that it came from a Makolis, and that's called Tliya. But we're not legitimately allowed to use Tliya if the Dam on the Kesem is what? Is Yoser Mikagris. That already becomes, from the medieval stalker's perspective, and I think it fits in very well with the Rambam, there's no stira to that at least, that becomes a Gzera Derabana. That's a new Gzera. Maybe it came Igufa. And what that means is that once it's a Kesem Bitoras Kesem, in that classical category, then I don't even have to ask the question of whether Tliya is practical or reasonable or not. Even if the Tliya is not reasonable, since it's on a beged, the Rabbanan only made that Gzera in a case of Kegris Vio.
Why is it more of a suffix on beged than it is on Sara? So it could even Makar and Makar Macher for
no, it's not a question of suffix. It's a question of what the Rabbanan did here. Did the Rabbanan say, let's waive the requirement of Hargosha? And the Rabbanan say that in a classical scenario of Dam Migufa, which means that we find the Dam on her body, then the Rabbanan say we're gonna look aside and not require Hargosha. But if it's on a Beged, now that's where the Takonis Chachamim of Ksamim kicks in, and the Rabbanan established a Gzera, and that Gzera was limited to Yosef Mikagris.
By definition,
speak a little louder.
Stain can only be on a Beged, can't be on the goof.
Yeah.
A goof is Mamish Nadam, it's not a Kesem.
Still, it doesn't tell you that it's.
So you assume it comes from her, and there's no Hargosha, so. The distinction
comes from her. It doesn't necessarily come from the Mokom.
No, but that already is a, we don't know. If you have a Taliyah there, then it would be okay. But you don't have any Taliyah, you assume it's from her, and therefore Tibas Dam Kecharda.
But by definition, a Makolas is something that's on a goof. Means the blood came from where the Makolas pulled blood out of your body. So by definition, if it's on the body, it can still be a suffix makolas.
I don't know if the blood of the makolas came from your body. We're not talking about blood suckers.
Why not? Why can't you? Why is it? Why
if you want it, you could assume so. But a makolas is a bug.
Blood comes from the bug.
Yeah, the blood came from the makolas. It didn't come from Haguf.
No, the bug is in the bug.
A makolas has blood, I think, in nature.
That can't be. Makolas doesn't have blood.
No. And Parushim
like mosquito.
And Parushim don't have blood.
Mosquito. After the mosquito sucks it out, it's full of blood.
Yeah, but it's not the Torah. It's human blood. It's not.
Yeah, no.
Okay, but I mean, Makolas itself doesn't have blood.
We don't even know what it is. It's a bed bug.
Yeah, it's a bed bug. It bites you and it gets the blood.
Yeah, so it came from human stomach.
Right, but it didn't come from the Makar.
No, it didn't come from the Makar. That's what he's saying. It still didn't do Kegris in the
Bishara. Bishara means it came from the Makar. Ella, what? It came without our Gosha. So the Rambam says it makes no difference whether it's Kegris or not Kegris.
But it's not because it's not a Kesem.
But
again, what's the definition of that? Yes. Yes.
But yeah, you're a step ahead.
I'm making a step.
But what's the day? You're a step ahead. But what you're saying is the answer to my question, my pedagogic question. What I'm asking is, was this the Gzeir of Ksamen? The answer is, says the Rambam, there are two different, fundamentally different Gzeiros here. One Gzeira is forget about Argosha. The dam was on Besara, it came Migufa and from the Makar, and we're going to be Metameor without what? Without
Argosha. But Rabbanan.
Correct. It's a Rabbanan, but it's a Vadai Rabbanan.
Yeah, but it's a Rabbanan.
And if it's a Vadai Rabbanan, we're not going to raise any Sphagas.
No,
now there's a different Takana. And that's a Takana called Ksamim.
Exactly.
And what motivates the Chacham to create that Takana of Ksamim? The possibility that maybe this Dam came Migufa. That has nothing to do with Hargosha. Hargosha only in the second Takana allows you to downgrade it to a Drabbanan that we need. Yeah. Otherwise it's Doraisa. But once it's Drabbanan, now the Rabbanan want to say, well, the Dam maybe came Migufa, maybe it didn't come Migufa. Should we be Metamin or not? And the answer is, here they came up with a new Takana. What was that new Takana? That if there's reasonable doubt that maybe it came from Gufa, we're going to be metamid. Here's where they make also limitations. One of the limitations is it can't be on begadim tzivonim, and that's what I want to study with you right now. Why? What's the difference whether begadim tzivonim or not begadim tzivonim? So who cares? Number two, it's got to be kegris v'yod. Maybe according to certain shita, she has to have walked through a shuk shel tabachim, etc., etc.
Give me
5 minutes. Yeah. 5 minutes, and then you can condemn the cup and slug the man. Okay. Here's a Pisrei Tshuva. You know, we're learning Kuf Tzadi, right? And the Machaber writes in Kuf Tzadi, Lo Gozru Ella Al Kesem Im Yeshbo Kigris Viot. Okay, and then he goes on to that whole discussion in the Rambam, which we skipped. What exactly is Kigris? Fine. So the Gzera is only on Kigris and Kigris Viod and not on less than Kigris Viod. Okay, fine. Now, I want to read to you a few lines in the Pisrei Tshuva. He writes the following. Ayin b'tshuvas chsam sofer shekosav deshir kesem hanochon kfishahela b'tshuvas me'il tzdaka Disham Mitsuyan Hashir Bitsimtum Ubidigduk Godol Vekamatirchos Vigios Yagati. Okay, fine. Vatam, he writes the following. Mishum Ditchilas Gzeras Kesem Hoiso Mishum Chumra Ditaros. Did you hear that, Rabosai?
Yeah.
Where did this Gzeira of Ksamim come from? Where did it develop from? Where did it emanate from? He says it comes from the world of Taros. The Amru Chachomim lo plug v'yesh letame osagam lebaila. You know, since Ksamim were enough to be metame harp for Taros, because the chumra of Taros, they went ahead and they said, lo plu, we're going to extend it to Labaila as well. It's very confusing for her to say that her truma is tmeya, but she's muteris Labaila. She can't comprehend that distinction. Shalote kechucha, chucha means chucha vetlula, be'aisha she tmeya, nida litaros, she's a nida litaros, ulabaila, she's not a nida, she's tahor. Kevan shenesar b'minyan. Once they made that equation, they took a vote on it. Afal pisha botel hatam lo botla hagzera. Okay. He says the following: that even though we no longer have his askus bitara, and the entire enterprise that Rabbanan instituted of Gzeras Ksamim is all because of Taro. So let's drop the Gzera. He says, no, we can't do that. You need another Bezdin that's greater than the first Bezdin, B'chachmu V'minyan. That's the sugya at the beginning of Beitzah. Oh. But the Kevan, here's the good news. So the bad news was that we can't get rid of the Gzeras Ksamim even though there's no Taros anymore, because low plug. That's the way it works. Called Dovash of Minyan, Tzarek Minyan Achala Tiro. Like, we have no doubt that if there was a minyan today, you'd be taking medicine on Shabbos. I have no doubt about that. Does anybody disagree with me on that? Okay, and I can give you probably 20 other examples, but we don't have it, so that's the problem. Our hands are tied. I'm not sure about my machron, but probably, okay. Oh, now listen to the good news. He says, V'kevon shekol atzma lo nesra labayla ela mishum takonis hachachom arishonim, meaning fataros, ein lanu letame osa el bishir kesem shelzmanehem. In other words, when the Rabbanan made that original takana of what? Of litaros, and they defined what a kesem is.
Sorry.
Okay. Okay, so they made that takana. So they only made the takana for taros in a kesem. Shehiba makoles gedola umitsuya. Only if we can assume that there is a makoles. Okay. So it comes out like this, that there were all sorts of limitations in the original gzera. Why? Because again, there is no original gzera as far as Leviathan is concerned. It's a mimic. It's a mirror image. It's an extension. It's not the original. The original is only litaros. And he says that since the original was litaros, but we have to still apply that gzera of ksomim mizman hazeh, because we can't ignore it.
You milk it for all the coolers you can get.
Oh, he says that therefore, since the din is that a beged tzivoni is not makabel tuma, therefore the gzeres ksomim in taros was never formulated with regard to a beged that's makabel tuma. Is memela? I'm sorry, it was a beged tzivoni. I'm sorry, whatever I said, just cross it out.
Why can't it be makabel tuma?
You have to know that a beged tzivoni is not makabel tuma in certain cases. I don't know. Do you want to research that? We'll research that. Believe that. Hold it in abeyance, okay? He says that it doesn't make any sense, l'chora, logically, in our context, to differentiate between pochus mikagris and kagris. In what context does that make sense to make that distinction? No. When there's a makolas. If we don't have makolas, then the whole distinction should fall apart. I mean, I think he's accusing here the Sidrei Tara, those who reject the Mi'il Tzedaka, of saying that Bizman Hazeh, a wood should be Tmeya, even in a Pachas Mikagris. Because the whole justification to be Matara in Pachas Mikagris is Makolas, we don't have Makolas. So what are you hacking a Chayanik here? But the answer is that, well, let's go back to the original Gzera. The original Gzera was made in a certain period of time when Makolas was Mitsuya. Correct? He says, V'afal pisha bizmanenu eno nimta, but nevertheless, the gzera is still in place. So the bad news is that even though we don't have taros, and therefore the whole reason that propelled the rabbanon to make this gzera is undermined, we're going to still apply the gzera. But the good news is that we can apply the limitations to the gzera, even though they're based on a particular Mitzius that was only existent at the time of the Gzera. It's no longer existent today, but nevertheless, we're not going to reformulate the Gzera and create a Gzera to include that which wasn't included in the original Gzera. And right now we have two nafkaminas lakula. Number one, we could be Mekil. We could be Mekil even with regard to Pachos Mikagris. And that's based on Makolas. And number two, we could be making with Tliya, even when those reasons for Tliya, like a Makolas, don't exist anymore in our society. So I think this tshuva of the Chasam Sofer really touches on the whole nitty-gritty issue here between the Mil Tzedakah and the Sidrei Tara that we're discussing today. You know, the Sidrei Tara wants to say that any kula that you have in the Gzeiros Chasamim, let's check it out. Is Tliya is it reasonable? Is it convincing, persuasive, or is it not? The Mil Tzedakah, I think, belongs to the camp of the Chasam Sofer, that let's go back to the original Gzera and those limitations that came from the world of Taros and whatever existed at that time, and we're going to apply those limitations even Bizman Azeh, even if there's no possibility of Tliya, because the whole Gzera was rooted in what the Chacham said before. And the case that the Chasam Sofer discusses is not necessarily our case, but I think the logic is the same. Namely, if you don't want to distinguish between Big Day Tzivonim and Big Begadim that aren't Tzivonim, you have to go back to the original Gzera. Okay, Rav Osai, we'll stop here.
That's great.
Okay, so we get together again in Mirtz Shem.